KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM present The Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
Well, good morning and welcome into The Talk of Emporia this Friday. Tegan Trehune here with you today, being brought to you in part, as always, by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Don't trust your catering to just anyone. Get someone that has the experience to make your event a success and call Bobby D's today. And also by Newman Regional Health. Quality health care close to home. That's Newman Regional Health. Well, today we are into our second of the last two match day previews here for the Emporia Community Foundation's match day coming up November 17th. We're very happy to be joined here in the KVOA studios representing the Wade Barrett Memorial Fund. We have our good friend Gail Barrett. Gail, good to see you.
You too.
Glad to have you here with us representing VFW Post 7957, Mr. Gary Post. Gary, good to see you.
Good day, KBOE.
Good day to you as well. Representing Camp Alexander, we have Stephen Blocker. Steve, good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Glad to have you here with us today. Wore the flannel, representing the camp life.
Got to do that, absolutely.
Absolutely, got it perfect. representing Newman Regional Health Volunteers, we have Janita Thill, and we are also happy to be joined by Paula Lumley.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you both here with us. And representing Emporia Habitat for Humanity, we have our friend Eric Kirby. Eric, good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, glad to have you all here. And we're going to go ahead and kick off the list here with Gail. And Gail, for those of us who maybe don't recall, how long has the Wade Barrett Memorial Fund been involved here with Match Day?
I always get asked this question. I never remember the right answer. I think this maybe is year eight, possibly. Year eight. Yeah, we've been in it for a while now.
Nearly a decade.
Yeah, long time.
You know, obviously, one of the big things that we all recall here through the fund, and one of the big activities, of course, was Wade's Ride, mm-hmm. which you guys used to do. That was retired.
It is.
Trying to think of the right word. Was retired, but you still have a big impact when it comes to helping mothers and families and the baby shower, I think, is a big example of your involvement here in the community. Can you just talk a little bit about some of the things maybe we don't see in the headlines that you guys are doing behind the scenes?
Yeah, so we've continued to be able to fund both of our programs. You know, we're in year 15 of funding these programs. And the big one at the hospital is the swaddle program. So we still purchase every swaddle that gets handed out. Typically, they purchase about 500 every, 14 months or so. So we still send all of those out. And then we are still funding the pack and plays or the safe sleep cribs for the community baby shower. So we hold that yearly in the spring. Typically, we serve about 100 families, which is pretty incredible for our area.
Fantastic. Now, the swaddles that are donated here each year, can you just talk a little bit about some of the feedback you receive for those, or do you get to hear the feedback from the families?
Sometimes we do. I get a lot of pictures, or I see Facebook pictures of them using them in the hospital and then at home. So we do get a lot of good feedback just because they're easy to use and they know they're safe. I think the biggest thing is that having someone tell them that that's a safe use for the swaddle is really important. And so it's nice to have that alternative to a blanket.
Absolutely. Let's talk again about the baby shower here, which we get to cover each year. Love doing it. Can you talk about the partnerships that you have here and how vital that is to not only getting these resources and this information out to families, but maybe letting people know that there is an organization outside of maybe their healthcare providers that can help them answer questions or get them needed information or resources like the Wade Barrett Memorial Fund?
Yeah, I think the community partnership is probably the best part of that baby shower. Just all of the different organizations that Emporia has to help new families is amazing. And to have them all in one building where you can get those questions answered is really fantastic. So we share tons of information. We have lots of organizations that want to be part of that every year. So they're waiting for that date. They're reaching out to us to be able to get into the baby shower. And that's just huge, just to have them all there. My kids are much older now, but as a new parent, that would have been a fantastic thing to have all of those resources in one building.
Well, not to mention the fact that you serve so many different kinds of families. Mm-hmm. That's one thing we talk about every year, is you're not just serving traditional families like moms, dads. You're also serving single parents, adoptive parents, grandparents, mm-hmm. aunts, uncles, anybody that may have children in traditional or non-traditional settings.
Yeah, I think we have a different story every year. I can't think of a family setting that we haven't served. We usually have at least one mom in the hospital giving labor during the baby shower. It never fails. So we have a dad running in, getting the information that we can. We have twins. We have, like you said, grandparents. We have foster families who all of a sudden have a brand new baby. So all of those situations, we're very, very lucky to be able to not have to limit who we're serving. And we still do outside of Lyon County. So we are able to serve the surrounding counties, which was always a really important part of the event for me, just to make sure knowing that anyone that's going to be in and around the area is welcome to come and learn all of the information.
I think it speaks to how vital of a resource you are that somebody's wife is in labor and he's running in to get your information. That's
it is.
You'd think he might have somewhere else to be.
No, I swear every year we have somebody that comes in last minute, really like, I want the information, I want to get everything I need to know, but she can't come. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's okay. We want whoever needs that information to be there.
I just hope they come in with the, hey, I'm about to be a dad in about 5 hours.
Can you speed it up?
Speed it up just a little bit. But that, again, I think that speaks to the vitality and the importance of that that particular resource here in the community. Now, in terms of operating costs here for the fund and all the things that you all do, what is your average price tag per year? Given the fact that obviously we do have inflation to calculate there and things are always going up in cost.
Yeah, I tell that story pretty frequently. So our yearly operating costs running about $12,000 a year. Back when I started, those Safe Sleep cribs were less than $50 a piece. I'm really pumped if I can get them for $75 a piece now.
Wow.
So that's a huge cost increase for us. The swaddles have stayed relatively stable, but those pack and plays are really costly. And we're kind of particular about which ones we buy, which makes a difference. So we like the ones that have the bassinet part in the top of it. I think that's really important for new parents to have. So we've always made sure that we've provided that extra piece on those cribs as well. So yeah, about $12,000 a year it takes us.
And is that just covering the swaddles and the pack and plays themselves, not accounting for any unexpected costs that arise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, on average, have you gained from donations through Match Day?
I think we've been right around the $10,000 mark, give or take a little bit. So that typically is what we end up with, which is a huge help to us. We were very lucky when we decided to stop Wade's Ride that we had a really good foundation built.
Yeah.
And the Emporia Community Foundation is great because we've invested our money through them, which has helped us also lengthen those programs. So that's a really just fantastic opportunity to be able to have our money invested and working for a good cause on its own.
I can't remember the exact number you gave me, but I know when you guys announced that you were retiring Wade's Ride, I called you, I think that same day we spoke about it, and you had told me that things were pretty much on solid ground, and I'd asked you how long into the future do you see being able to continue this. You gave me a number, I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was several years. It was a little less than 10, but mm-hmm. It was more than 5, I believe.
It was. So, and actually, with the help of Match Day, we are still sitting at like 10 years. I think we could still keep going. So as long as we have some of those gaps being filled and some of that happening, we've got some time. We've got lots of time. And that's a really good position to be in.
Fantastic. Well, Gail, as I've done with all these previews here, allow me to pay you a compliment and just say it is inspiring every year to know your story and how you took tragedy and turned it into a resource and really hope for a lot of other families. So thank you so much for all that you do, and best of luck come Match Day.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. That is Gail Barrett representing the Wade Barrett Memorial Fund, one of the 30-plus organizations that will benefit from your donations come Match Day, November 17th. We'll now turn our attention to another good friend of ours in Gary Post, representing VFW Post 7957. That is the Vernon H. Buck VFW Post. And, well, Gary, always good to have you on here with us, sir. Welcome in.
Well, it's always a pleasure.
Oh, you're too kind. Well, let's talk a little bit about the VFW Post, and what do you guys have cooking up? Because I know there's always something coming up on your calendar.
Well, the primary thing that we're doing is each year we do 3,000 flags on veterans' graves in Lyon County. The first thing coming up is next Saturday, which is the 18th, and that will be an open house at 302 South Commercial. And closer and closer. 302 South Commercial, and from 9 to 12, we especially invited law enforcement, first responders, match day donors, teachers, students, because we do a VFW essay contest, and just anybody interested in knowing more about the VFW. Plus, we gained some new members from last year doing this.
Oh, great.
So it's really been great, so we're going to do it again.
So, again, 9 to 12 next Saturday, the 18th, there at 302 South Commercial. Just remind folks a little bit about the VFW. What does your membership consist of? And I guess, how do you go about becoming a member if you want to get involved?
Well, there's criteria that has to be met. Obviously, a veteran. Obviously, foreign service, foreign wars. It's not like the American Legion that if you were just in the military, you're eligible to join. So we do have criteria for certain wars and time frames and stuff like that. So we have to review that and then accept the application and go from there. So,
what's the average amount of time that somebody puts in with VFW projects?
Oh, my goodness. Some.
Sure.
Trail. We work on the trail. The wall that was here, mm-hmm. the wall that heals. Oh, my gosh. We had probably 2 weeks' worth of work in that, in hours in that, mm-hmm. with all the members helping with that. So that was an awesome, awesome experience, and we supported that both with time and treasure. So.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and it was a great addition here to the community calendar. It was something that I think a lot of people walked away from with a better understanding and a lot more respect and admiration, especially for Vietnam veterans. So,
true.
It was great to have it here. It was quite the processional that came into town as well. That was a sight I never thought I'd see, but that was something to describe in and of itself as amazing. But Gary, another big thing that the Post is involved with, too, is making sure to instill patriotism in the youth. And I know that you all run the Patriots Pen and the
Voice of Democracy.
Thank you. The two essay contests each year. Are you accepting applications for that right now?
That the time is open right now until October 31st is the deadline. It's a QR code now, and that's been to all the schools. The Voice of Democracy is a high school essay contest, and it was actually started by broadcasters years ago, and the VFW took it over about, I don't know, 80 years ago or mm-hmm. so. But it is an audio essay, and the other one is a written essay, the Patriot's Pen, and that's for junior high kids.
Now, talk again about the importance of instilling that patriotism in these kids. I mean, they've had more exposure, I think, to patriotic displays in recent years than anybody else. You talked about the wall that heals. Of course, we have Veterans Day activities that go on. We have Freedom Fest. We have Flag Day. We have all these different things. I mean, kids in this area specifically should have a pretty great sense of patriotism, but how do you think that this really helps push that over the edge?
Well, the theme this year is how are you showing your patriotism for your country? And so one of the tough things about it, though, is they don't want the kids to put their name or their town in their essay. So how are you going to write about the founding city of Veterans Day if you can't identify your town? So it's a challenge for them and stuff. And we had a youngster sign her essay last year. It was so good. I sent it on. District sent it on, and the state said, she's not gonna go any further. But she would have had a trip to Washington, D.C., probably, if she would have had not signed that essay. Hmm. And once I get it, it's by magic VR, or not VR code, QR codes, and I can't do anything about that.
No,
so
sure.
It's...
See, that was going to be my strategy, was like, just tell them you're from Emporia. Like, that's that's got to be an automatic
win.
Right there. But I can see why that might be the case. Well, Gary, with everything that you all do, can you kind of sum up maybe a best guesstimate of how much it costs to do these activities and put on these displays?
Well, we hope for $3,000 to $5,000 a year as part of match day. Obviously, we've had more than that over the years, so we've been able to put that into the Employee Community Foundation fund. So it's been an absolute awesome thing for us. We would go to our meetings and we would decide what we were going to do with the upright piano. But we're doing stuff now. We're doing the Cottonwood River Trail. We just started something new this year with the Emporia Community Found, not the Emporia Community Foundation, Emporia Arts Council, and it's called Beyond the Battlefield. Mm. And we will furnish $100 to a veteran artist that probably the VFW members will go in and vote with all the veteran artists that came in, and then they'll pick up $100. And ESU Bank also will continue to do like they've done, $100 for Best of Show, $100 for People's Choice, and then $50 for second and third. Fantastic. So it's just something to add to the veteran artist, which has been awesome.
Fantastic. Well, Gary, allow me to pay you and everybody a compliment. First of all, thank you, as always, for your service. We appreciate it. But thank you for how tirelessly you work throughout our community because, man, it is inspiring. People tell us all the time they don't know how we do it. I don't know how you do it. You are constantly going and doing something, and we see you out and about.
I'm just puttering.
Well, you're doing it well.
Well, but puttering.
Gary Post, the one man you can't pay a compliment to. But we are grateful for you. We thank you for everything that you do, and good luck here on match day.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That is Gary Post representing VFW Post 7957. He was destined to do it. It's right in the name, Post. There you go. It's like you were meant for this. It's fantastic. We're going to take our first break here on the Talk of Emporia. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to our friend Steve Blocker with Camp Alexander. We'll also speak with Paula Lumley, Janita Thill with Newman Regional Health Volunteers, and of course we still have Eric Kirby, our good friend with Emporia Habitat for Humanity, to come here on the Talk of Emporia, which again is our second to last match day preview. Again, 30 plus organizations will benefit from your donations November 17th from midnight until 11:59 p.m. that night. More information at EmporiaMatchDay.com. Stick around. We have more of the Talk of Emporia coming up, again being brought to you in part by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue and Newman Regional Health.
Newman Regional Health is proud to welcome Dr. Dylan Landry, General Surgeon to Emporia, Kansas. With years of experience and a strong commitment to patient care, Dr. Landry brings outstanding surgical expertise to our community. Whether you're in need of routine procedures or specialized care, you're in expert hands right here close to home. If you or a loved one may benefit from surgical care, talk to your primary care provider about a referral today. Newman Regional Health, helping you achieve your healthy goals.
If you need catering this fall, call Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. For family reunions, weddings, corporate events, and more, let Bobby D's cater your special event. With over 24 years of professional catering experience, we're able to handle any size event you have, whether it's a dozen people or several hundred. From meats to sides to desserts, we make catering easy for you. Don't trust your catering to just anyone. Let us make your event a success. Call Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue today to book your event. 342-1990.
Chuck Samples, KVOE News, with local news headlines here today. Resurfacing work officially getting started on Kansas Highway 99 near Emporia today. The Millen Overlay Project beginning at Emporia's southern city limits and moving south to the Lyon-Greenwood County line. Work may be completed by late November, weather permitting, and APAC Shears of Hutchinson is the lead contractor on this $3.6 million project. KVOE's most recent City Commission candidate spotlights are in the books. Yesterday, KVOE News aired its one-on-one interviews with political newcomer Don Liu and incumbent Tyler Curtis. Separate stories are online at KVOE.com here today. They're also part of our KVOE Voter Information Guide, courtesy of Community National Bank. And Emporia State University's recent successes with finances and student enrollment have been well documented in recent weeks. Question now for a lot of folks is it sustainable? Retiring President Ken Hush says it is, and said so on ESU's the ESU Buzz here this week. Details at 12:05 this afternoon. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
For the latest news, weather, and sports, tune to 14 KVOE 96.9 FM or log on to KVOE.com. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Back on the Talk of Emporia this Friday morning, Tegan Trahoon joined in the KVOA studios by representatives of five of the 30-plus organizations that will benefit from your donations this coming match day, November 17th, from midnight to 11:59 p.m. Information at EmporiaMatchDay.com. We spoke with our good friend Gail Barrett with the Wade Barrett Memorial Fund, who is into year eight, we believe, of being involved with Match Day. And we also just spoke with another good friend of ours, Gary Post, representing VFW Post 7957. And don't forget, they do have their open house coming up Saturday, next Saturday, that is, the 18th, 302 South Commercial from 9 a.m. to noon. So make sure you go on out there and check it out. We now turn our attention to our friend Steve Blocker, representing Camp Alexander. Steve, first and foremost, welcome in. Glad to have you.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, we are glad that you could make it in here, and I mentioned earlier, Steve is really decked out in the camp theme right now, the full flannel and everything. It's, you do know it's going to be like 85 degrees today, right?
I was chilly in here, I guess. I don't know.
That's probably just me. I have a frosty welcome, apparently. Yeah. But, Steve, let's talk a little bit about Camp Alexander. First and foremost, I think we've talked about this before, very near and dear to my heart. I grew up literally 2 minutes from Camp Alexander, walked there almost every day as a kid during the summer.
That's awesome.
It's a beautiful camp. So much to do there. People, I think, are shocked when they see just how vast it is.
Yeah.
Because you really just see the front of it and think, okay, that's it. But there's miles and miles and miles of, you know, everything you could possibly think of with a camp experience.
Oh, yeah. And that's I'm glad you bring that up because we have to stress year in and year out that it is available to the community. People can go out and hike, bike. The trails are fantastic. And just the environment is kind of a nice little escape, I guess you could say. So.
Well, you mentioned it is available year-round, and you do see activities there year-round. I mean, I know that there's been a lot of bike events, especially, that have taken place over the last couple of years up there. Mm-hmm. People use it for family reunions. They'll use it for weddings, celebrations, yeah, things like that. In terms of the usage that you guys have been seeing as of late, are you up, down, kind of all around? I mean, where do you guys kind of feel like you're at?
Good question. Probably in the all-around category. You know, we have some regulars that come in, it seems, yearly for an event. I want to say one is Brothers of the Third Wheel come in, I think, pretty regularly. But it gets used from local 4-H. But you're right. It's available. I mean, I know we're going to have a learning community event for Emporia State here in a few weeks, and we had a great turnout with this event last year. It's just like a fall festival for our students, and it's a very, like you said, it's near and dear to you. It's near and dear to me as well, so it's a great spot.
It is, and it's really centered around a beautiful neighborhood and community there right out in Thorndale.
Yeah.
If you've never been out there, though, there's also a lot of really cool traditions and things that I remember as a kid. I don't know if they still keep up, but, of course, there's the story of Boxcar Willie that's out there, which we won't get into on this particular broadcast. But, I mean, it is Halloween, so, you know.
That's right.
I remember we used to run a haunted house out there pretty frequently. Is that something you guys are still involved with or kind of moved away from?
So we've moved away from that really in part thanks to great support throughout other organizations in the community. But I think that those experiences, a few of the other board members and myself, when I was coaching, a lot of times we would take our track athletes out there as kind of a service project and fundraising. And we'd be out there from, you know, 6, 7 p.m. until about midnight. One year we drove straight from Illinois for our cross-country championship. We drove from Illinois, basically got home, changed clothes, and we took some kids out there to scare some folks that evening. And so good memories, you know.
I think I was there actually at that time.
You might have been.
Yeah, I was a part of that from like age 9 until probably 19 or 20. I was involved with that. It was one of my favorite things every single year. Always had a great time. Yeah. You mentioned, though, bringing track athletes out there to go running. For those who've never been out to Thorndale, if you go walking out there just regularly, you'll have the most powerful legs, I think, ever invented. Because there's a lot of hills and ups and downs, not to mention most of the roads are gravel.
Right.
So you're having to kind of really keep your feet underneath you. And, you know, learning to ride a bike on a gravel road is no joke.
Correct.
But do you guys ever find yourselves just going around the neighborhood, or do you primarily kind of did you stick there in Camp Alexander?
We would stick to the trails, really, you know, and just trying to promote it. You know, like I said, when I was coaching, you know, we would utilize that for recovery days just to get out into nature and just to promote an area, local area to our student athletes. And now I promote it to our students as I'm teaching in the classroom. And so just to get used to it, because it's a great area that is supported by the community. And it's a lovely place to be.
So. Well, I'm glad that you mentioned the students, though, promoting it to them, because they can actually get paid out there, because there is summer camp opportunities as well. Again, I mentioned I went there almost every year as a kid. They have some great programs that they run out there, and they always need help.
They do. Yeah, that's right. I mean, and the summer camp itself, to me, is I know there are dozens, of course, hundreds of camps across the region and nation, of course. But, of course, I'll be biased to Camp Alexander, and that, you know, we sent our son now. And so it's a little bit of a rite of passage for our family. And so just the help that is out there, the dedication of the staff and what they put into the kids is pretty powerful stuff.
I don't know if this is the endorsement you're hoping for, but I will say this.
Uh-oh.
Well, somebody made a great point. When you go to, like, get the actual summer camp feel, you're usually out in the middle of nowhere, a long way out of town, a long way from civilization in some regards. Camp Alexander is one of those places. Thank God. If something ever went wrong, you're not far from help. I mean, that was one thing that I had actually heard parents talk about, is I know they're going to be safe, because even if something were to go wrong, people are close by, Emporia's right there, you're not far away from the hospital, God forbid. But, I mean, that was a selling point. Another big selling point was, hey, if I miss my kids or my kids miss me, I can drive by and say hello. You know, my mom had to do that a couple times. We were 2 minutes from our house. But, you know, my mom would do that from time to time, you know, if something is wrong.
They must have loved you. That's good, I guess.
Right? I think they just want to make sure we hadn't escaped. But, yeah, that might
or
be
that.
It. Yeah, you know. They still have safety protocols because of me and my brother out there. But
that's right.
Yeah, the old Trahoon Amendment. Yeah, look it up. It's there. But I think the last thing I really wanted to touch base on here is, you know, running this camp year-round is not a cheap endeavor. And I know there was a while back there were some financial concerns.
Right.
How do you think Match Day has really helped quell those concerns and give you guys more confidence moving forward?
It's huge. I mean, golly, since I've been on the board, you know, coming out of some of those, that era, I guess you could say, of some of those financial struggles, and Match Day is, it's hard to put a word to, because there is, I mean, anytime you run a camp, when you're out just thinking about your own personal experiences camping, things break, you know, there's constant upkeep and things that need to be replaced. Mm-hmm. We're always trying to get a better experience for the kids, and then to help the local families. There are just it's always going back to scholarships. So there's that stewardship aspect that the board feels is pertinent, that we get the support and it goes back to the community so that we can get more kids outside.
Well, this is the part where I'd like to pay a compliment, though I think the entire interview has been a compliment, but it really...
Well, I owe you $20.
I don't know. Just give me the money I paid for camp back. But
that's right.
No, honestly, though, you know, I make that joke, but it was worth every penny that we ever paid, because you guys are creating lifelong memories for kids. I'm 31 years old. The last time I went there as a camper, I was 15, 16.
Wow.
And it still sticks with me 15 years later. How much fun I had out there. And I think part of it is, you know, I'm biased too because I grew up right there. Mm-hmm. But it was the counselors. I have a counselor who I know now today in my adult life who was one of my favorite counselors when I was a kid there.
Oh, wow.
Who made a big difference in my life. I don't think they ever truly will know that, how big it was. But they were my favorite human being because of how they treated us. You guys are making not only memories for kids, but you're making lifelong friendships with them too. So just want to say thank God for Camp Alexander, and thank you guys so much for all that you do, because it really is making a huge difference.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Absolutely. That is Steve Blocker with Camp Alexander joining us here on the Talk of Emporia this Friday morning. We'll now turn our attention to Newman Regional Health and the Newman Volunteers, as we are happy to be joined here in the KBOA studios by Janita Thill. Janita, good morning.
Good morning.
And Janita, how long have you been with the Volunteers?
I've been with them 2 years.
Two years now. Very good. What made you want to be a part of them?
To get out of the apartment around people and to help people.
Well, you get to have an opportunity to do all of that.
I sure do.
For those who are a little unfamiliar maybe with the Newman Volunteers, can you just go through maybe a short list of some of your responsibilities day to day?
Greeting patrons. Mm-hmm. Today I worked the PET scan, a desk. We have a lot of people come in for that. You direct them where they have to go or who to see. You give if people want patients' names and what room they're in, you give them that at the East Desk. We also have a snack bar and a gift shop there that people frequent.
I've spent a lot of money in both of those, and it was worth it.
Very good food.
Yes, very good food.
And very good items in the gift shop.
One way that I've always described the volunteers to people who have asked is you are all the first line of comfort, I feel like, when it comes to people coming into the hospital, which can be a scary time,
right,
depending on why you're going in there or your age or whatever the circumstances may be. And, you know, how important is it for all of you to come in with a positive attitude, and how do you maintain that positive attitude? Because you are human. You know, we all have good days and bad days. How do you guys really maintain that positivity throughout the day?
I think just by talking to the people, you kind of get a feel. I had one time last year, a lady that came off the elevator crying, and I talked to her as gently as I could and asked if I could help her go somewhere or call somebody to help her. Mm-hmm. You just give concern and act like you're concerned about them, which you are.
Absolutely. You share in their give them sympathy and commiserate.
Right.
Absolutely. Welcoming in also Paula Lumley. And Paula, what is your involvement with the volunteers? Are you yourself a volunteer as well?
Yes. This is just my second year.
Second year.
And I'm in the gift shop.
Oh, wonderful.
And you got to come see us in December because we have a lot of beautiful stuff in there for sale. You just got to come see us. But anyway, I just wanted to say with us volunteers, we're getting older. And it's going to be a chance for us someday that we will not be there if we don't get more people involved in it. So a lot of our money that we get from the Emporia Community Foundation, it's going to go to – we're trying to build up our endowment fund. So that way, if something would happen that we would not have the volunteers anymore, we would have that to sustain us for years to come – to give out scholarships, medical scholarships, because right now we're doing five.
Correct.
We're doing five scholarships right now, and we want to continue that if we can. And when I say medical, it's just not nurses. It could be doctors, radiology, lab.
Anybody that wants to go into the medical field.
Absolutely. Social worker.
You're doing five scholarships right now. How long – I know you've only been in for 2 years, but – how long has that scholarship program been around, do you know?
Since 1955.
Wow.
We've been giving out over $160,000 since we started it.
See, I was going to try and do math there. Thank you so much, Janina, for saving me that embarrassment. you know, it is amazing that you're not only providing comfort to individuals, but you're helping provide a future for others.
And we also have 30% of that people that we've given scholarships to have been employed at Newman Hospital.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic. Yes. So over the course of, lots of years, again, not going to try to do math, but
70 years.
70 years. I need to just carry you around with me to places and just, I don't know the answer. Janita, hit it. I don't know.
Yeah, this is our anniversary, our 70th anniversary this year.
That's fantastic. So anything special on the calendar, anything planned to commemorate seven decades of service?
Well, we did give an extra $1,000 scholarship to one person this year in honor of it. But we've given out several things, but different things to the doctors and nurses and ice cream treats for everybody.
I love that. That's awesome.
Free iced tea.
You can keep the iced tea. I'll take the ice cream, though. That sounds good. Can you talk a little bit about maybe the reception and the support that you have from the hospital in terms of the role that you play in their operations? I mean, have you gotten to really see that firsthand?
Oh, definitely.
Yes, definitely.
And we talk with Kathy Pimple a lot. She comes down and you know, educates us on what's going on with the hospital, and as Steve Bissell, or Steve does too.
Steve Mazon?
Yes. they're both great people, and I feel very involved with them. Of course, Steve likes to give me a hard time, but I give one right back.
I could imagine you do, absolutely. We were going through the order of how we're going to do this earlier, and Janita commented, she goes, I'll talk first. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's very good. I thought she was talking about the order, but she was talking about just this part. But I was just like, wow, she's not afraid to wield the stick there
a little bit.
But Paula, kind of the last questions here. For you, you mentioned keeping Newman volunteers around. What is the average age of one of the volunteers, if I can ask that without seeming rude?
Besides our bakers, I think I'm the youngest one.
Probably.
I think I am the youngest one. And we haven't left all do I have to tell you my age?
I was raised right to know I'm not supposed to ask that question.
Okay, so good.
But, you know, you mentioned everyone getting a little older, yes, mainly into the senior citizenship, if I may, though you don't look like a senior citizen, either one of you. I'm scared of Janita, so I'm just trying to make sure. But, you know, as you continue to move on in life and time goes on, you know, how are you going about trying to bring more people in and maybe younger people even?
We're I think it's next week we have a membership drive.
On the 24th.
Yes, we got a membership drive coming up for anyone that can come in. We'll have bingo, I believe. Ooh. And, of course, food and drinks and stuff like that.
And our video.
Oh, yeah, we're going to show our video that day.
From the match day?
Yes, from match day, yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Wonderful.
I would like to say that we do have volunteers up in their 90s still with us. So as you can see, they are getting older.
Well, thank you for that anecdote, Janita.
I think it's a blessing that they get out and can do it.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, allow me to close this down with a compliment, and that is I've had to be at Newman on more than one occasion in my life for all kinds of different reasons. I mentioned there's some safety protocols at Camp Alexander because of my brother and I. We have always felt so calm, and the volunteers are a big reason as to why. I've had family and friends had to go through recent procedures, and you all have been there to just be that comforting arm. So we thank you so much for that, for taking time out of your lives to just help bring a little comfort to ours and a little bit of peace to ours. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And thank you. Good luck to you, I should say, on match day. Look forward to seeing how things turn out. That is Paula Lumley, Janita Thill with Newman Regional Health Volunteers, another of the 30-plus organizations that will be benefiting from your donations this upcoming match day, November 17th. We're going to take our final break here on the Talk of Emporia. When we come back, we still have one more organization to highlight. It's our good friend Eric Kirby with Emporia Habitat for Humanity. So make sure you stick around. More is coming your way, courtesy of Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue and Newman Regional Health.
If you need catering this fall, call Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. For family reunions, weddings, corporate events, and more, let Bobby D's cater your special event. With over 24 years of professional catering experience, we're able to handle any size event you have. Whether it's a dozen people or several hundred, from meats to sides to desserts, we make catering easy for you. Don't trust your catering to just anyone. Let us make your event a success. Call Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue today to book your event. 342-1990.
Attention high school athletes, Newman Regional Health is here to keep you in the game with their Saturday Injury Clinic, open every Saturday from September 6th to November 1st. Drop by 1301 West 12th Avenue, Suite 105, Entrance C, no appointment needed. Clinic hours are 8 to 11 a.m. with check-in starting at 7:45. Whether it's a practice injury or a game day setback, orthopedic and sports medicine experts are ready to help you bounce back fast. Newman Regional Health, helping athletes achieve their healthy goals.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and in Tennessee, emergency crews responding to an explosion at a manufacturing plant in Hickman County, southwest of Nashville. The mayor of Hickman County says at least 13 workers are unaccounted for. It is a sprawling facility dealing with high explosives. ABC's Matt Rivers has more.
You're talking about a mass casualty event, you're talking about a brush fire in the area, and you're talking about the risk of secondary explosions, which is why you're hearing authorities at this point telling people, look, stay away while we clear this. They actually mentioned that there could be further explosions at this point.
President Trump getting a scheduled physical at Walter Reed Medical Center today. His last physical was in April. He told reporters he feels fine and is in good health. Israeli forces are redeployed to agreed lines in Gaza, part of phase one of the ceasefire and peace plan. All remaining hostages could be released as early as next week, along with a Palestinian prisoner exchange. Humanitarian aid also set to flow into Gaza. This is ABC News.
Join Ron Thomas and Chuck Samples Monday through Friday at 7:15 for the Newsmaker segment. A different guest and topic daily on KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Back on the Talk of Emporia this Friday morning, Tegan Trehune joined in the KVOE studios by representatives of five of the 30-plus organizations that will be benefiting from your donations this upcoming Match Day, November 17th. Again, more information at EmporiaMatchDay.com. We spoke with Gail Barrett of the Wade Barrett Memorial Fund, Gary Post of VFW Post 7957, Steve Blocker of Camp Alexander, and Paula Lumley, and Janita Thill of Newman Regional Health Volunteers. Our final representative has been waiting very patiently here throughout the morning, and sadly, we've run out of time. So, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We couldn't have a Match Day preview series without the one and only Eric Kirby representing Emporia Habitat for Humanity. Eric, always a pleasure to get to see you in here, and thank you again for your patience. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you having us, and thank you for hosting this, too. It's a great opportunity for all of us to talk about our missions, and it's we're very thankful for it.
I'm not exaggerating when I say this is literally one of my favorite things we get to do every year. It's so much fun to get to kind of – feels like a family reunion in a way, you know, getting to sit down with everybody and talk a little bit about how things have been over the last year. And, well, let's start there. How have things been over the last year for Habitat?
They've been very good. Weather has been extremely nice for us this year. We had our big, huge group here in May, and because the weather was so nice and we were able to work so much, we got further along in our house build in 2 weeks than we've ever gotten before.
Oh, wow. So at this point, how many houses have been erected by Habitat for Humanity here in Emporia?
We are on number 28, our 28th affordable homeownership opportunity.
Wow. And how far into that process are you? You mentioned you're on it right now, so it's not completely wrapped up yet?
Right. We've got our subs are in there doing all their rough ends, and they're going to be done with that shortly, and then we'll start getting sheetrock in.
Fantastic. And one of the things that I love about your program is the sweat equity. I love to talk about that.
Yeah.
The individuals that will be moving into these homes, they have to put in a certain amount of time. How much time again?
300 hours.
300 hours
yep.
of time. Which seems like a lot, but then you actually get into the nitty-gritty of working into that. 300 hours is kind of a short time, considering how much time actually goes into building a house.
It is. And we try to get them in there on all different aspects of the build so they kind of can see all of the different ways their house is put together.
Mm-hmm.
And that also allows them to take care of the house better, know if there's a problem somewhere, what it looks like behind the wall, so they can think about how they can take care of it and fix it.
Absolutely. How do they manage that, though? I mean, 300 hours, I mean, that is a big number, and everybody's got lives. You know, you got to work, you got to go to school, you got to do what you got to do. How do you guys help them balance that?
Yeah, we offer some evening stuff, some weekend opportunities where they can come out. When we have the big group here, we really like them to get out for a couple days. We shift our schedule around and have a full day on the weekends. And they have family that can come help as well. Their family can put in 100 hours, donate 100 hours of their labor towards that 300 and get that done. So there's all sorts of opportunities as well as classroom work. So our buyers, they're partnering with Interfaith Housing out of Hutchison, mm-hmm. and they're doing a personalized IDA program. And so there's some classes on fiscal responsibility, savings, money management that they have to do before they start their savings program. And then once that starts, they'll have 6 months to save up to $3,000. And then that number is doubled by Interfaith Housing, and we use that for their down payment assistance.
So really, when it comes to this, they're not just getting a house. They're getting a full education, it seems like, on home ownership, home building. I mean, you mentioned the respect and the, I guess, the pride before that they have in their homes.
Sure.
That comes from everything that comes with this build, I would imagine.
It absolutely does. And, you know, one of the greatest things that we got to do with this house was the first couple days that we started when we had the big group out here is we hadn't – we hadn't told our applicant that she was the one that was going to be selected for the house.
Oh, wow.
And so I had her come to the site when everybody was there to ask her some questions, and that's when we told her. And so that big group had never been a part of that selection process. So it was a wonderful thing for them to see what it meant for the buyer to learn that they were going to be able to buy the home, and then vice versa, for her to see all of these people there willing to put all their time in to get the work done.
Was it kind of like the Extreme Home Makeover Home Edition moment where they get to tell them they're getting the new house, they're getting all the renovations? Like, was it kind of a real tingly sort of feeling?
It absolutely was, and there wasn't a dry eye there. It was spectacular.
Man, I wish we could have been there to see that ourselves. That's a pretty awesome
I've got thing. A recording I'll share with you.
I would love to see it. That's fantastic. Well, remind folks about how much goes into financially building one house.
I'm terrified to think about what it's going to be this year. You know, just like everybody's dealing with inflation and yep. the cost of everything is skyrocketing. Yeah. I'm hopeful that out of pocket cost wise will be under $140,000. Mm-hmm. But then you've got to take into account the cost of or the value of volunteer labor. We'll have over 2,000 hours of volunteer labor, and in the state of Kansas, an hour of volunteer labor is worth a little more than $24 an hour.
Wow.
And so you're talking $50,000 in gift in kind volunteer labor to also complete the house. And so that, you know, we have our account with Emporia Community Foundation and our match day funds, and that's obviously what we'll use the funds for to complete this house again. But we're going through those a lot quicker than we used to. When that house used to cost us $75,000 to build or $80,000, it's jumped tremendously.
Well, not to mention, when you look at the mortgage payments that got to come with that, I mean,
sure.
It's really a trickle-down impact on everybody.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we have to pass all of that on to the home buyer. The one great thing is that we sell the houses. So Emporia Habitat is the mortgage lender. We're the servicer, and we offer those mortgages at 0%. And that is the one thing that continues to keep the house affordable.
Yeah.
Is there's no interest on top.
Have you ever had anybody who wasn't able to afford the house?
I believe that it's happened 3 times in Habitat's history.
3 out of 28?
Right. And those 3 times we've taken the house back in deed in lieu of foreclosure, and then we recycle that house back to the program, and so then we just get another family in there that makes the payments and buys the house from us that way.
Like I said, though, 3 out of 28, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
I
mean, and we've got 12 on the books right now, and we are at 100% with everybody up to date on their payments. So that's wonderful.
Well, allow me to pay you a compliment before we wrap things up here, and that is I just became a homeowner this year. My wife and I bought our first home, and I never realized how much pride and, in a way, how much comfort you have when you have a space that's all to yourself. It's just, it's yours. You know, everybody was talking about, you got to get a house, you got to get a house, you got to get a house. And my joke was always, okay, are you going to pay for it? Are you going to do it? I'm fine where I'm at. I'm comfortable where I'm at. I'm good where I'm at. I never realized how uncomfortable I was until I moved into my own home. And you guys are really giving these people who maybe never thought they'd be able to have something like that, their own space. And really, it becomes a part of your identity in a way. So just seriously, congratulations on all the success you guys have had. Congratulations to all the families that you've benefited. And we wish you absolutely the most best. That's not correct. The absolute best, I should say, moving forward here with Match Day. And as always, Eric, it is a pleasure to have you in here. Thank you so much for all you do. And thanks for making the time for us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
That is Eric Kirby representing Emporia's Habitat for Humanity. Again, a very good year for them, but costs are always increasing. So your donations are going to help them bring somebody their dream home come November 17th. Again, midnight to 11:59 p.m. November 17th. You can donate electronically, virtually, however you want to phrase it, through EmporiaMatchDay.com. And if you're not sure who to donate to, go to EmporiaMatchDay.com. You can see videos of all of these 30-plus organizations who will benefit from your generosity and kindness. We're going to have to call it a day there. We'll wrap up the talk of Emporia. But just a quick reminder, next Friday we close out our series of Match Day previews as we'll be joined by Ken Schnackenberg of Team Schnack Strong, Susan Brinkman of Southwick House, Cheryl Doty of the Baby Closet of Emporia, Christine Wallace and Kylie DeDonder with the North Lyon County Youth Association and Nancy Nordmeyer of the Lyon County Crime Stoppers. That's all coming up next Friday on the Talk of Emporia. Make sure you stay tuned here today, though, as we do have the 12 o'clock block of information coming your way with Chuck Samples right here on KVOE, live and local.